We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hi, and welcome to TV Times 3, episode 24. I'm Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from MyTakeOnTV.com. And Ray from RamblingsOfATVWhore.com is not with us today because she is off gallivanting in California a couple days earlier than me.
Yeah, lucky her.
The time you hear this, I think I'll actually be with her, but she's not available to record with us.
What is it that you guys are doing?
Well, Ray right now is out visiting one of her sisters who's in San Francisco, and she's going to come down and meet us in LA, and we're going to be there for Paley Fest.
Nice.
Yeah, very excited about that. So Ray and me and Kath from GMMR, GiveMeMyRemote.com, we'll all be hanging out. And I think Daniel from the TV Addict is going to be there too. So it should be fun. Should be a good time. So what's in the news? What's in the news today? We wrote a lot of stuff down, didn't we?
Well, I just had jotted down that Prison Break is going to be coming back as of April 17th. And then it'll run through to have its two-hour series finale on May 15th, which I'm kind of a little bit excited for. I've really liked the show over the course of it, so I'm kind of glad that I think it's time for it to end, and that it's going to end with it's going to close things off and give you an actual ending, which is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
And then I also had listed that Leonard Nimoy has been cast as William Bell. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I talked to Kirk Acevedo, Charlie from Fringe. I talked to him today for C42F, and he said like the cast is super excited about it. They like love him and they think it's going to be awesome, and they're like totally thrilled.
I think it kind of fits well for, you know, the sort of persona, you know, and
oh yeah,
to end up being that kind of character on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have that we talked about last week that ABC had announced that Pushing Daisies would start running on Saturdays over the summer, but then they've subsequently added that after the three episodes of Pushing Daisies air, that then the final episodes of Eli Stone will air in the same time slot on Saturdays, followed by the last few episodes of Dirty Sexy Money. So for people that have been hoping to at least get to see the final episodes, not sure what type of, you know, I don't know what type of closure or anything you'll get on the storylines, but you'll at least get to see the episodes that they had filmed when ABC decided to yank them from the lineup.
I feel like Eli Stone might have more of a wrap-up. Did they had time, I feel like.
Yeah, I want to say that sort of like Pushing Daisies and Dirty Sexy Money were kind of in the we've already filmed type
right.
of thing, but we're pulling the episodes. But that Eli Stone, since it started later, you know, it was more starting up at mid-season.
Yeah.
I think there might be something. I haven't been able to find any information on that or not, but I think there's more potential for there being some sort of wrap-up of that story.
Right.
And then what did you have?
Yes, and then I said, well, Kings on NBC, which I'll give it that it's not like the show for everybody, but it's moving from Sunday nights to Saturday nights.
They do seem to have it scheduled, though, to finish out its run of episodes that they filmed.
Yeah. I mean, they spend so much money that they might as well just air it.
Yeah, it runs all the way through June something before it finishes out. I don't know. I think it's I was actually kind of happy to see that some people actually watched Southland and Harper's Island last night.
Yeah, seriously, because that means that they're not going to be canceled right away.
Because a lot of new shows, well, Castle doesn't quite fall into the, because it started out pretty well, but it's dropped off a little bit. But like a lot of other new shows, along with like Kings and Cupid and The Unusuals, have had like mediocre starts to their...
Yeah, they definitely have.
And it doesn't seem like people are in the mood for new programming right now or something like that.
And I think a lot of it is that people are in the mindset that new shows only come out in September, because the majority of people don't do what we do and know, like, the premiere dates. Like, my dad would have no clue.
Well, on that sort of similar note, I was talking to a friend at work last night who watched the Life, you know, season finale, maybe mm-hmm. series finale, hopefully not. And it was the first episode of Life he'd ever watched. But he, like, totally loved it. He thought it was a great show, and then realized, looking at the show information on the cable guide, you know, he went to look to see, like, when's more of these episodes going to be? And it says season finale. And he was like, he'd, like, never even really heard of the show, but for some reason he decided to watch. He was, like, bummed that it was the season finale. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's like, people, watch some of these shows.
You won't regret it.
Apparently, it's still able to find, you know, some sort of audience. Like, people knew that Southland was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more people showed up to watch that than had been watching any of the comedies in the 2 hours leading up to it.
And maybe that's because they didn't realize that ER was the season or the series finale. They tuned in for ER. But still, they got a good show. They got a John Wells show. Maybe they were like, oh, maybe they watched The Cops on ER, and they still aren't sure that it's not ER.
So what else did you have?
Just one other thing. No, two other things. I was not really ever a huge fan of Melrose Place, but the new Melrose Place is a go, and all kinds of people are signing up for it. But they're bringing back Laura Leighton, who is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives. That's his wife. And she was Sydney on the original Melrose Place. And at the series finale of Melrose Place, she was presumed dead. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to explain that. And then Dr. Michael's coming back, Thomas Calabro. He's going to be someone's dad. So, like, one of the new characters is his dad. No, is his son.
Well, Laura Leighton's character, Sydney, pretty sure that won't be the first dead character to reappear on Melrose Place.
This is true. Yes. And then, so that's it for Melrose Place. I didn't watch it. I don't know that I will watch it, but who knows?
I'll probably check it out just to... Just see, but I didn't watch it through like the end of its original run. I watched like the first couple of seasons of Melrose Place.
I feel like I did too. Like, I know I watched the pilot. I know I watched that, but that's about it. That's all I can remember. And then my other thing, okay, so there's this whole hullabaloo about Dollhouse. Because apparently Felicia Day from Dr. Horrible twittered.
That set off a Twitter storm like you wouldn't believe.
It seriously did, like you wouldn't believe. So she sends a Twitter out, right, that says, oh, bummer, episode 13 of Dollhouse isn't going to air, which is apparently the episode of Dollhouse she's in. So instantly everybody's like, oh my God, Dollhouse is canceled, which not yet, but, and I can say this because Ray's not here, it probably will be. Sorry, Ray, love you. But anyway, but no, it sounds like the situation is actually this. So apparently Fox Network is only contractually obligated to air 12 episodes. The 12th episode is shot as a second-parter and will air as a season finale. Like, it made perfect sense. That's how it was shot. But Warner Brothers asked for a 13th episode. So they shot it, but Fox does not have to air it.
Yeah, because something about that Fox ordered 13 episodes and the first episode, you know, the first pilot was shot.
Was the pilot they didn't use.
And they ended up not using it and going back and redoing it, but they're counting that in the episodes that they ordered. So technically they got 13 episodes, but they only got 12 airable ones.
Right.
But yet there were still 13 episodes filmed. But it's kind of a weird-sounding episode. People are saying, you know, they should air it, or they should, you know, anyways, or what have you. And I'm like, no, they shouldn't. Not if they air a season finale.
Yeah, not if it's written and like, acts as a season finale. Like, they totally shouldn't.
Yeah, if the 12th episode that, you know, leaves you at a season finale, you don't want to come back to, like, the next week and then there'd be another episode, and it's sort of a standalone episode.
Yeah, in a way, and it could be a sign of good things maybe for Dollhouse, I don't know. Get all your friends to watch it, make sure they're watching it, and if people do tune in, the last, you know, the 12th episode is fantastic, highly rated for a Friday night. Maybe that 13th episode will see the light of day, but you never know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should air it. The only problem I have with them not airing it is that I like Felicia, and I think that it would be cool to see her on the show. But that's pretty much it.
My favorite thing I saw about that was on Twitter was Eric on Media. He posted that he hoped that Fox would air the 13th episode because he hears that's the one where it really gets good.
Oh, jeez. So that's all I had for the news today.
So, okay, on to the topic this week, which is about a couple people wrote in. I can't remember which episode it was. It was a couple episodes back. Ray had mentioned something, I think, in regards to finales or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
See, we don't remember anything. Somebody somewhere said something.
I just remember she had said something about some show like not being a good finale, and that prompted somebody to write in and ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paula wrote in back in the middle of March and asked what show had the best series ending. And then also here more recently, Carly wrote in.
We think that's how we say it. We think.
Wrote in at the end of March. And was it a series finale topic of, she asked the question, who did it right, who did it wrong? And so we decided to pull those together since they're asking the same question and talk about those, as I sort of put it, the series finales that sizzled and the ones that fizzled.
Yes.
As with a lot of these things, I sit there and go,
oh, that's a great topic. And then I have
that's a great topic. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wait a second. What ones were good and what ones were bad? And I'm really bad at some of these things at remembering. And so I had to like actually use my best friend Google to help jog my memory of some shows.
What a sad world. Your best friend is Google. Oh.
That's right. But he, you know, he's always there. He pretty much can answer any question. So it's not so bad. Actually, now that I think about it, I think the topic may have came up when we were talking about the Battlestar finale.
Probably.
And then also here, more recently, there's been the ER series finale, and then Life on Mars had a series finale. And I think we both agreed that the Battlestar series finale was, at least on our end, would qualify more as the sizzled than as the fizzled.
Yeah, I mean, sure, there was a lot of, like, unanswered questions, but the rest of the finale was for Battlestar, I mean, it was so well done that I left... Like, I was satisfied with what I watched.
Yeah, I've heard some people talk about the Battlestar finale in as it was great, like the first 45 minutes, and then it sort of drug on for another hour and a half. And I guess you can kind of say that, except they had so many different... There was a large cast, and there was lots of different people to give an ending to.
Right, right.
And if they hadn't done that, there would be people that were, you know... There'd be like, oh, you didn't spend enough time, or you didn't give us enough of an ending for this character or that character. And so I think they struck a pretty good balance and gave everybody a pretty good ending where, you know, you can see, you know, where things were. And I wasn't bothered by the length of it. I think if you actually watch the finale episode without commercials, like on a DVD release, I think it'll come across a lot better because Sci-Fi was really using that Battlestar finale to pimp their new slate of shows for the...
Yeah, they really were.
They advertised all their new shows multiple times, and which, you know, you can't really fault them for that since they don't really have a whole lot right now and they're relying on this whole new slate of stuff.
Right.
So, but I think it won't quite feel like it drags as much as it did if you watch it, you know, straight through, because it'll probably... But I'm going to say that while it ran 2 hours and 11 minutes, I'm going to say there was probably some extra commercial time in there.
Oh, shit.
And that the running time wasn't much longer than around 90 minutes anyways, which would be about normal run time for a 2-hour show. So,
what are some other good ones?
Did you watch the ER finale?
I mean, what I liked about it, and not because you know how some other shows on like a finale, they flash forward and they show you like in 6 Feet Under, they showed you how everybody died and things like that. This one just kind of ended as a typical ER would have gone on. And it just I liked that they did that. I liked that they didn't do anything fancy. They didn't change anything. And it was a solid hour or a couple hours of TV for sure.
Yeah, I thought it did pretty well by bringing some past characters in. And I really liked having Mark Green's daughter there, as that really
Yeah.
Especially that last scene with the "Are you coming, Dr. Green?" I thought that wrapped up pretty nicely. But I also thought it was interesting because I don't know if you remember when we were on TV Talk with Sean, he had asked what we thought would be a good final scene or what the final scene would be. And I was like, you know, I don't really know. I haven't watched it in so long. But probably a good final scene would be just like them busting through the door with you know, a bunch of, you know, new cases and emergencies or stuff like that.
Right.
And it
exactly.
was pretty darn close to that. They had, you know, like a boatload of ambulances show up and, you know, every doctor in the place was out there ready to, you know, basically triage them as they came in. And that was what the show always did really well. And what was so great about the show in the beginning was that the frenetic pace and action when there was a case, you know, when there was somebody being rushed into the ER.
Exactly. And I mean, I can't say they haven't done that in the past years either. I just haven't watched it.
Yeah.
But I will say that a show like this, you know, it made me cry, and I haven't watched ER in years. So it was like an emotionally powerful enough episode for me too.
I think having not watched probably in the last 4 or 5 seasons, I think ER would fall in the, for the type of series that it was, I think that's the way that series, that type of series should end, is there's not really an end. Like Battlestar Galactica, there has to be an end. You know, you need to, you got to close it off. Or like we could briefly talk about Life on Mars. They got a chance, even though it was shortened, to give it an end. And I think a show like that needed to have an end. But an ER is a show that it's perfectly fine to end it the way they did, where they're still there taking cases at county.
Exactly.
And it gives you a few things of closure for specific people on the show, or leaves them in at least a happy place, you know, somewhat.
Right.
But overall leaves the show like it's still going.
Right. I mean, that's what a good, like, even like a procedural or something like that. Like, if were Law and Order ever to end, because it feels like it's never going to, like, I feel like they should end it like that. They should, you know, they move on to the next case.
Yeah.
It's the world doesn't suddenly end. Like, New York does suddenly not have, like, crime and law. It keeps
going. All of a sudden, there is law and order, and
and they're out of a job.
And that shows them locking the door and walking out of the courthouse to boarding it up because they don't need it anymore.
Now, you mentioned Life on Mars. What did you think of the end?
Overall, I thought it was all right for it being the end of the series, you know, being shortened to 17 episodes. But the more I thought about it, if the series had gone on for 2 seasons or 3 seasons, and that would have been the end, I would have been pissed.
What if we had watched these characters for, like, say it did go on 6 seasons or whatever, 7 seasons, which is the contract. At the very end, would Jason O'Mara's Sam still have said, oh, I fell in love with, you know, a girl named Annie? Would Annie and Sam not be together? Like, they built that up as this main central relationship where they make each other better. Like, I would have been pissed.
Because you would have, you had some investment in the characters and the relationships that were being built back in that 70s time frame. And but it was, if it had gone on for, like I said, multiple seasons, you would have been really invested in those characters and relationships.
Exactly.
And then to find out in that sort of, it was all a dream type of thing as we were put in stasis on our way to Mars.
I will say, though, that I'm glad he wasn't just in a coma like in the British version.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I've only seen like the first episode or so of the British version, just so I could like compare it to what they did here. And but I've heard that that's how that one ended. But I always found it interesting because they did like a spinoff where a female cop gets sent back to the 80s, but she ends up working for the same, like, she's working for the same boss, you know, the same Gene Hunt character. And I kind of want to watch just to see how they do that. Like, was she had just like read about this other thing, or how did she?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of something I want to watch.
If she's just in a coma too, how did she conjure up all these some similar characters and stuff?
Right. Like, did she know about them, or?
Well, I watched the first episode of that Ashes to Ashes, and there's one scene where it shows that she has like a file on the previous guy, And so apparently she had some information or something like that. There's like a, so there is something there to have, but I'd like to see how they, or at least find out, read or see the final episode of that one to see how they.
So listeners, this is your homework. Tell us how it ends, or tell it how it happens, because I watch so many hours of TV in the week that I don't have time to add another one. So I need you.
Our UK contingent could chime in and let us know.
Yes, please.
How that ended.
Please. To
and
you.
For others, it's airing on BBC America right now. If they wanna watch.
I could probably set the DVR and catch up. Maybe I'll do that.
But actually, that brought up. I've mentioned it all being a dream, and that was one of the shows that I think I kind of remember. It's been a while, but Newhart.
I loved that show.
That was a really fun show, but it ended with Newhart waking up and saying, "Wow, I just had this really weird dream." And then he turns over and he's talking to his wife, but his wife is Suzanne Pleshette, which was not his wife on the Newhart show, but his wife on the Bob Newhart show from back in the 70s.
Right.
And it was just a really clever.
Yeah, like there's a difference between real clever and like a really good ending, and then a show like, and I hated the ending of Saint Elsewhere. Like I loved Saint Elsewhere, but oh, he's an autistic child looking in a snow globe. Like I'm sure it was a lot of out of the box thinking that went into that, but I feel like the Bob Newhart, like Newhart did it better, or did that whole idea a lot better.
Yeah, I think that seems to be one that shows up on people's list as a good example of a series finale. Most people seem to think that the Cheers finale was good.
I loved that one.
I think it was a good one, especially that final scene where Sam is locking up and somebody tries to, and he's like, you know, we're closed, and then just walks off into the back, and that's the end.
Exactly.
In that similar fashion, it sort of leaves it as it's still, while lots of things happen to all the characters in the final episode, it still kind of left it as the bar's still there. And
Right.
And when you're talking series finales, you can't not talk about the MASH series finale, which I'm sure at some point in time I've seen, but it's been so long ago.
I've never seen it.
But
I remember my dad talks about it to this day. Like he loved MASH, and whenever I'm at home visiting, like, he's watching MASH. Like, he loves it. And I remember him loving the finale, or saying he loved it. I don't think I was alive yet.
It still ranks to this day as the most watched, like, the most watched show. Which apparently it had 106 million viewers, which was 77% of available TV viewers at the time were watching that.
Wow.
And that's like, back then there was 3 channels to watch. So that was, now, even with all the different networks that people are watching, that even 106 million people are like watching TV all at the same time, you know, are all watching like from 9 to 11 o'clock or something like that, are all watching TV, is that's a huge number. Because right now, you might end up with, like, say, a Thursday night where you might get somewhere in the 20 millions for, like, a Grey's Anatomy and, like, CSI. And if you throw in, like, The Office and whatever Fox is playing, you might come close on a really good week of hitting, like, 50 million viewers in one time period on the 5 broadcast networks. And so you can kind of see how things have changed as networks proliferate. It really is interesting that because of all the different channels and all the different options of movies and DVDs and everything else that there is, you know, video games and surfing the internet.
Sleeping.
It's hard to get a lot of people to watch something. That's why right now, when you see some show hit 20 million viewers in a week, that's impressive right now.
I love that we're talking about ratings again. This is our series finale. Back to series finales.
One of the other ones that I liked, some people tend to not, is I liked the Friends series finale.
Yeah, I think that everything came a little too full circle. Like, everything happened so happily. But I liked it. I enjoyed it, definitely.
If you were a fan of the show and you'd watched all 10 seasons, I think you deserved everybody having a happy ending, you know? I think it may not have been, like, the most hilarious episode of Friends ever, although I thought there was plenty of funny stuff at the time. But I really liked that they gave everybody the happy ending that fans, you know, wanted.
Yeah, that they ended Ross and Rachel. Spoiler alert.
you know, if Ross and Rachel hadn't got back together, if, you know, Chandler and Monica weren't able to
have a kid, to get a kid, and then they got twins, yeah. Or like, yeah, fans would have been pissed.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of people would have been more like the Seinfeld.
Oh, I hated the Seinfeld finale,
which falls on the fizzled side for pretty much everybody.
You know, no, not everybody. I know people that have liked it, but I thought it was ridiculous.
I think overall the concept of it and them being left in the little teeny jail cell, you know, at the end and stuff, I thought it was kind of a ridiculous concept. But I did like that they were able to bring in some of the more memorable, like, guest stars or side characters that had popped up over the course of the year, you know, the course of the series.
Because with Seinfeld, like, the guest characters were the ones who were getting all the news. Like, I mean, the main four, they were always, you know, they were awesome and everybody loved them, but if you had a really good side character, like Sue Ellen, what was her name? Sue Ellen Mischke? Was her name? The one who only, you know, who ran around in a sports bra or whatever.
The
like,
one where Elaine finally buys her a bra and then she, she just wears it. That's it. Just the bra.
The bra. Yeah.
And Kramer and Jerry are driving along and they get into a car accident because they see this woman walking down the street wearing just a bra. That was classic Seinfeld, with where all the storylines always interconnected at some point in time.
Right.
But yeah, they always had, to stay on the similar topic, you know, they're real and they're fabulous. You know, they brought her back for that. You know, and then they brought the lawyer character back, and they, you know, I believe, like, you know, the soup Nazi and all kinds of characters to talk about how bad of people these people were over there.
Because they really were. I mean, folks, they really were.
Yeah. I mean, well, really, it epitomized it. I mean, it was said all the time, you know, but in that episode where they see the crime taking place or whatever, and they're, you know, Jerry's just like, oh, that's a shame, you know. And,
yeah.
But that was... That was the line. That was one of the lines from the show all the time. Something would happen and somebody would be like, "Ah, oh, that's a shame," and then they just go about whatever they were doing. I liked that it was able to tie in and bring you back memories of previous shows, but not so much on overall. It was pretty bad. Some other ones that I thought of were Arrested Development. While it was
so good,
it was, you know, off and on, is this going to make it? That it, when it finally did make it to three, but they knew that it was going to be ending it with, you know, probably not a TV series, but it might work as a movie. I mean, that's just a great line, especially since now that it's going to be
a
movie. I mean, that works too perfect. And then also the British version of The Office had
the Christmas special.
And if you love Jim and Pam, they have nothing on Tim and Don in that Christmas special that wrapped up the shorter. It had two seasons of like six episodes and then this like 2 hour, 90 minute or 2 hour special. And the stuff that happens, if you've watched, especially if you've watched the 12 episodes of The Office, the stuff that happens in, you get the ending that you always wanted in that show, and it's just outstanding.
Yeah.
I think it's a great series ending show. And another one from way back that I'd forgotten about it, but when I was looking up some of these things, it reminded me it was Moonlighting.
I don't remember how it ended.
That was one of my favorite shows. I mean, I used to watch it all the time, but I had forgotten about the ending. The ending was where Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis showed up as, you know, they're like in character, but there's like nobody at the office or something like that, and pretty soon they realize that the case that they're trying to work or whatever, and they start running into the other characters, but they're not the other characters, they're the actual actors. And so it broke out of where pretty soon you see them walking off a set and you see like the behind the scenes, and they end up talking to like executive producers and running into other actors and stuff like that. And it had a lot of lines in there, like them being, the show would still be around if you guys hadn't let the chemistry fizzle out and stuff like that. And it ends up,
I flat out don't,
it
remember,
ends up with them in the parking lot outside the studio and stuff. And I think it was sort of one of those where it was a clever ending. While you can kind of think of something like that as ruining what had come before, but it was so clever and well done, kind of like the Bob, like the Newhart ending, that it didn't, yeah. that it was so good that it didn't bother you that, you know, but those are the ones that, that I thought of.
I have two that I wanted to mention. One that I hated and one that I loved. Not hated, but had an issue with, and one that I loved. The Wonder Years. Now, anytime I talk about a show, you know, I'm always talking about, like, a couple that I hate, like, that I love. Like, I was mad in Battlestar because Kara and Lee didn't get together. Or, like, I'm always shipping somebody. With The Wonder Years, I thought it was, like, a really well-done show. And then, you know, they still had Daniel Stern talking and over them and all that and all that and all that. And then Winnie and Kevin didn't end up together. From the series beginning, they were soulmates. And they didn't end up together. I was pissed. I mean, otherwise, it was a really, really good finale, but I was so mad. And then, what else? The other one that I loved, and this is another show that was only one season and then ended, Freaks and Geeks. My God, Freaks and Geeks was one of my favorite shows. I still watch those DVDs. I want to say at least once a month, I'm putting like 4 or 5 episodes in because I love it. And the season finale, it's another situation where they knew that they were going to get canned. Like, they knew. Because nobody watched that show. They watch it now and they kick themselves because they didn't watch it then. But it's Dungeons and Dragons. And oh my God, James Franco playing Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks. It was just fantastic. Funny. And they, you know, it was just so good. But that's really all I could. I mean, there's plenty of others I could talk about. I hated that Jonathan Taylor Thomas couldn't come back for the series finale of Home Improvement. Or did he? And I missed that.
I can't remember. See, that's the thing is there's so many different, you know, shows that you like that ended and stuff like that. But some of them have been so long ago that, like, even something like The West Wing, I remember it being a pretty good ending, even in the sense that it was really a really good beginning for what could have been a continuation of the series. But there's all these different shows that I don't really remember whether they were good or bad. So I guess in that case, they weren't really ones that worked really well or ones that didn't work really well, since they don't stand out. They were just like so-so series finishers. One other one on the worst list that I, when I was looking at some of these, was The X-Files.
I never watched a single episode of that show.
I watched a lot of that series, but the thing was, while the finale was called like Truth or something like that, or The Truth, mm-hmm. and the whole thing was always the truth is out there. Well, by the end of the finale, the truth was still out there. Because they didn't really tell you anything. They didn't wrap things up.
I don't know if you would know, but did they know when they were wrapping that show that they were going to do movies?
I want to say that they did. Did they do the first movie before the series ended?
I don't remember.
It's so long ago that I can't remember. I want to say that there was a sense that they could have wrapped up. They didn't have to like necessarily wrap everything up, but they didn't really tell you anything. Like, they didn't even move it ahead any. You know, it was really, it tends to fall on the list of where you want answers in a series finale, and that didn't give you, you know, where some people wanted more answers in Battlestar Galactica, you know, The X-Files is an example of where they didn't really give you any answers, so.
I guess, just to finish up on our finale thing, because we're going on forever.
There's only two of us, and it's going to be the longest episode ever.
If Lost does not have a series finale next year that answers all of the questions I want answered, I will be pissed. Yeah. So, word to the wise, Carlton and, Damon, who are obviously listening to me. I want a good finale. Kitsis, Horowitz, do something good. Let Brian K. Vaughan write it, because I think he's a great writer. Just do something that will answer questions for me. That's your preemptive warning. Thank you.
By the time it gets there, you just have this list of questions, and you'll be sitting there going, yes, got that
one. Oh, my God, and we, like, check it off as we go.
Got that one.
Got it. That's a great idea. Somebody do that and send it to me, because I'm too lazy.
And then you'll be like, oh, man, they only answered half my questions. I still have 5 things I want to know.
And then you just email everybody you know. Okay, do you think they answered this question?
Did I miss something?
Love it.
We went on and on about series finales that were both good and bad that we thought, and maybe it was a good thing that Ray didn't do her homework and send in her thoughts on the subject, because who knows how long we would have went.
Yeah, seriously. We would have been talking forever. We still haven't done prime time. My God.
I mean, there's so many series that have come and gone that there's a lot to talk about. It's hard to think of just those few. I tried to kind of narrow it down to the ones that I really, really liked. and the ones that didn't mm-hmm. really work. Yeah, so let's put a finale on the topic and move on to primetime.
Primetime.
And the first show we had was Chuck.
It is Chuck yes. Week, and Chuck Week will continue. By the time this comes out, Chuck Week will technically be over, but it is Chuck Week. And we have to do everything in our power to get Chuck watched by everybody that we know.
That's right. I say we extend Chuck Week into...
extend Chuck Week until Chuck is renewed. That's my motto.
Yeah, I really, really,
For
really
hope... For those of
hope...
you wondering what the hell I'm talking
if
about...
If you haven't heard about Chuck Week, people all over the internet, starting with Kath at GMMR...
Go ahead, Kathy.
Turning Give Me My Remote into Give Me My Chuck.
Hey, and to be fair, on the same day, and she IM'd me like the minute after I did this, I changed it to my take on Chuck on my banner, and she's like, "You have great minds think alike," because then I had not seen hers, and she had not seen mine, and we both like knew it was Chuck Week, and then I looked at hers, and I just thought that was so funny, because so like everybody's trying to do this thing. People are changing their Twitter backgrounds, and they're changing their Twitter icons, and we're trying to really do like an internet, you know, I would almost say like fan marketing campaign to get people watching this show.
You know, I hope that it works and gives an uptick to the last couple episodes here to close out the season, because really it is one of the most fun shows on. It just happens to be up against, like, I think what is the most hotly contested hour on TV, which is 8 o'clock on Mondays. I mean, there's...
I have a plan for those people worried about not being able to watch it. How I Met Your Mother is going to get renewed, which means you're going to see reruns. You can skip it. Big Bang Theory already renewed for 2 years. You can skip it. House will rerun on USA that Friday night. Skip it. Gossip Girl has lost its train anyway. Skip it. Watch Chuck.
Will Gossip Girl be back, or will it still be on hiatus or on their little mini hiatus?
Yeah, it's not even back. It's the 20th. You have another week to forego anything else you're watching and to watch Chuck.
And Dancing with the Stars, there'll still be a few of the stars left. You only miss one getting dismissed.
Yeah, seriously, it goes on for like 6 hours. ABC has it all.
You know, watch Chuck and then switch over.
Yeah. Yeah, or read the recaps. You don't really need to see the dancing. It's not about the dancing. It's about the crazy faces that they make. And just look for pictures because it's about the stupid costumes. Watch Chuck. Now, let's talk about what we saw on Chuck. Scott Bakula, how good does he look?
Kind of weird and odd, you know, looking at, but that's just like just another one of his like covers. Because since he turns out to be the creator of the Intersect. And then also, you know, Chevy Chase as... one of the big bad guys. It was a really fun episode. It was almost a little too mythology laden. I kind of wish that Chuck Week might have started, the push might have started a week earlier, because last week was the episode that was like, it had a lot of fun elements in it. This one had some fun stuff like Chuck putting on the suiting up.
Oh my god, how funny.
And then shooting Casey. With multiple, and then finally sticking him in the neck with one to finally get it. It takes 3 darts to finally knock Casey out.
And then he falls over and makes a little noise. Like, and the two of them, what are their names? Casey and Sarah, dressed up as nerds. Like, sure, they took the nerd thing a little too far, but so funny. Like, you don't need to. I mean, yes, there's a lot of mythology, but I explain this to people all the time. You can quickly join this show and understand what's going on. There's a recap all the time. Here's a recap for you. Chuck has all of the government secrets stuck in his head. We come to find out that his dad created the program, so his dad was going to try and save him, but then Chevy Chase came and didn't save him, and then they had to make a deal, and obviously he's going to be back because Scott Bakula, I mean, you don't have him on for one episode, right? Oh, so good.
Yeah, but there's just so much, some of the side elements. That was the only thing that this one was sort of missing, a little bit more of one of the side stories, where the side story was more the Ellie Awesome story this week, which was good, except that it didn't provide...
Ellie's still my favorite character.
...the comic element as much as having one of the side stories taking place at the Bymore with the other wacky characters that are there.
But I love that Lester needs no reason to tackle people. He just, like, tackles people because he knows Chuck's in trouble. Like, he's just like, okay, whatever. No questions about why Chuck is trying to steal something from Chevy Chase. Nothing.
Well, especially when they were like, he's, like, you know, sold out or he's left us or whatever. And
he's forgotten who we are already.
And then they're, like, helping him out.
And I will say that when we are so long now, we have to move on from our show. But Chuck, when Scott Bakula was like, "Oh boy," I was like, "Quantum Leap, where's Dean Stockwell? I love Quantum Leap. Like, I love that show." But yes, long story short, Chuck is awesome. If you're not watching Chuck, you're not awesome. The end.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So the TV Times 3 podcast did their part on Chuck Week.
That's right.
That's me clapping again.
Also on Monday, in the same time slot, House, what did you think of the out-of-nowhere suicide of Kuttner?
Right? I was definitely expecting Taub to be the one to do it. Because, I mean, I had known ahead of time that there was going to be a suicide. It was kind of announced on E! Online. But, so if you weren't spoiled, like, if you didn't know that there was something coming, all the previews obviously gave you, like, this theory that something was going to happen. So I was expecting Taub, but I think it was almost too easy of an out for Cal Penn to go work with Obama. Yeah. But I thought it was a well-done episode. My favorite part of how it was shot was that it was shot in blue tones. Like, I just, like, how a pilot was shot in, like, an orangey. This was shot in all blue. It was just so, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I think they did take the, they sort of made lemonade out of lemons and used it in an effective way to give House another way to, something to question himself about, mm-hmm. Because he doesn't really have, off and on he gets these things where, like he was taking the shots, the methadone, and then, but he sees that it's actually, he thinks that it's making him not as good a doctor, so he goes back to the other way, or just another thing to mm-hmm. sort of give him pause to, or something to work through, or something that the character could possibly build on. But it was kind of, I was ticked off because I had avoided any spoilers and didn't really know that there was, like, a big thing coming up on that episode of House until a little bit before I was going to watch it, and I was out on Twitter, and somebody from the East Coast not only posted, that there was a big spoiler, or that there were, and then, read about it on my site or something like that, but posted, like, a link to the Kuttner Memorial website. And had a comment about how that was, like, sort of bizarre. And I was like, wow, that doesn't give it away or anything for everybody else on, that's not on the East Coast that's already seen it. And I was pissed because then I knew it was coming.
But no, a lot of people, like us that has, like, Fox Publicity or whatever, if you hadn't watched it on the West Coast, Fox Publicity sent out an email that said, sign up on Kuttner's Memorial. Yeah. I'm like, what if I hadn't watched it? What if I hadn't?
Yeah,
known?
I saw some people that were complaining about having been spoiled by Fox PR people, but that only told me that there was something coming up, but not what it was.
As long as it does something to bring Chase Cameron back to the TV screen, then I'm fine with that. But if it doesn't, then I don't know. I say kill them all off.
Yeah, well, at least right now there won't be any filling of any new positions until, from what I understand, until next season,
if they hire outside for it, which they shouldn't.
Yeah, because hopefully maybe somebody will decide that they don't like ER medicine as much as they thought they did, and they want to be back on the team.
Exactly. So that's House.
Now on to Fringe.
Welcome back, Fringe. Oh my god, I love this show.
I thought it was a great return.
It really
came back
was.
With a really strong episode.
And I have to say, it was a smart episode to come back with, too, because they, unlike with Chuck, where you said it was, like, so many, there's a lot of mythology to it, yes, there was some kind of history there, like, there was a little bit, a new viewer might not know who everybody is, they can still watch the story of a feral child, and, like, see it play out without needing to know what Massive Dynamic is, without needing to know about John Scott, like, it was still a solid hour to be without that.
Or even knowing, even if you didn't realize the, like, the Observer connection at the end or something like that, or that was a big deal or something like that. Overall, the episode was just a really good story to follow from beginning to end.
And I'll say this about the creators, too, like the writers. A lot of complaints they were getting is that Anna Torv had no feeling and that she had, like, that she was bad. They're giving her, like, the sister and niece to kind of show that she does have a real life and her feelings for this child, like, that she was empathetic for him, and that she does feel, and she can smile, and she can,
Yeah,
have that side of her.
I think I saw Ducky out there on Twitter that said, you know, what's with the sister and the kid? And
that's true. They haven't really explained it. There has to be something more to it than they're
just
there. But
I think for a good part of it, though, it is to round out her character, to give.
Oh, sure.
I think that is mostly what, I mean, they may decide to bring something else out down the road or something, but I think mostly they've brought that set of characters on to make Olivia seem more human than this, like, almost robotic, straight-ahead investigator, you know, investigating right. these strange cases.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad it's back. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next couple episodes. And Leonard Nimoy!
That's right.
I mean, got that coming, so.
And now moving on to Lost.
So what did you think of this episode?
I don't know. I think that there's, like, stuff that I missed. Like, I think there's, like, stuff in the episode, like, things in the background, things that they're showing when he was, you know, fell down into the temple and stuff like that that I'm sure I'm not getting the connection of right away or something like that. But it was interesting when he sees Alex at the end and she basically, you know, ready to...
Threatens to kill him.
if you don't follow, you know, what John says to do. And so that'll be interesting to see if he actually does follow that.
I mean, he was so shaken up, but you never know with Ben.
Well, it's like Alex said, I know that you've been planning on killing him again.
Killing John.
You know, basically, since you saw him, but you're supposed to be following him and doing whatever he says.
I mean, it did kind of answer enough questions about Ben. Like, when did he meet Charles? He met Charles when he was a boy. You know, when did he actually remember? He didn't remember much. He remembered his father used to beat him, but he didn't remember getting shot or anything like that. Oh my God, how hot was the younger Charles Widmore on his horse? Like, that was such great casting. That was such great casting. He looked so much like him.
That was like just like a sort of like a really cool scene, though. Just like somebody comes riding up into the camp on this horse, you know, and...
Yeah, because you weren't sure when it was set. Like, he was dressed in old-timey clothes. You could have totally thought he was a pirate from the Black Rock.
Yeah, and so it was... I did like that it answered... They've been doing really good, you know, going through each of the characters and going back and showing what happened in, you know, and so you saw that... You saw that he didn't kill, you know, Widmore's daughter.
Oh, my God. I was so happy.
Yeah, even though you thought that was... And the reason he looked like that is because
Desmond
got up after being shot by him but they set it up really well with, like, you know, if you see Desmond, tell him I'm sorry.
So then my heart's in my throat. I'm like, oh my God, Benny's dead. And then Ben's got the gun and I'm like, oh my God, Benny's going to die. And so was Desmond because he was shot. Like, I was freaking out. I don't think it was the greatest episode I've ever seen. I'm a little, like, I don't like the fact that this giant smoke monster circled him and showed him his life. Like, what? What is all I had to say about that? But, so then, do you think that the smoke monster, like, takes corporeal form? Like, do you think that Alex was the smoke monster and, like, the horse and Hurley's friend Dave, and, like, all the Yemi? Like, do you think they were all the smoke monster? A lot of people are saying that, like, that's what they think it was.
I don't know. Because there is all these other, like, how are all these other dead people or... people showing up on the island that are only seen by, that aren't like showing up like Locke where everybody can see him, but, you know, people like Christian where only certain people have seen him at certain times and other characters. I don't know.
I liked the funny. Whenever Ben gets a chance to be like really funny, I enjoy that. Like, he's just casually walking along. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Like, he's just this cheery hello. And they're all like, this dude's crazy. But then he immediately turns around and pops and kills Caesar. I don't know if he killed him, but shoots him. Like, that was incredible.
Yeah, then you're sitting there going, okay, so is that guy really not, like, a new major character on the show? Because, like, is it just the...
Because he was kind of billed as being
is
one.
Is it Alana or whatever her name is? That Is it really just her that's, like, the new major character on the show? It was came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that.
No, me either. Not at all.
Overall, with some of the episodes that we've gotten, I don't think it was a great episode. But I think, like, they do so well, though, it did really good at tying things up and leaving you at, a similar position with Ben's character as you have, you know, now with Kate and other characters and Saeed and stuff like that.
I like seeing Sun like as a strong character who's going to tag along with John and Ben and like be there a third person.
Yeah, I want to see the I want the why the heck is Jack come back episode. I want him to figure out why why he's coming back.
What lies in the shadow of the statue?
Yeah, that was
like what the hell was that?
I don't know. And then whack.
I mean, you knew when they focus on that one guy at the end of the one episode, the guy from October Road, you knew that he obviously was something. But I didn't know that he and Alana were working together. Like, how did they know that that was the only plane that was going to get them there? Like, yeah. There's so many questions that come up from that. Like, what's in the metal tub?
What's in that big metal box that they're going to carry away?
Was that guy who ran to get Ben working with them, and he got Ben because he knew he needed to? Like, there's so many questions that came up.
That's the other thing is, are we going to get a backstory episode for Alana?
I'm sure we will. I mean, spoiler alert, the backstory seems to be Miles, based on, like, previews and things that I've read. So we might get a little bit more information about him.
All right. That's enough Lost.
Yes.
And next on our list, we have Harper's Island, which we got the first episode. And now I can freely talk about without fear of being sued.
CBS coming to kill us? Oh my god, like with our name on the DVD?
No,
you
have to watch the episode with your name like sort of grayed out, but you can see it on the bottom.
It's like that's distracting you to the bottom of the screen. It was annoying.
But you know, had to freaking sign a non-disclosure agreement. That was just short of signing your life away. Basically, I saw it. That was all I was willing to tell anybody. that's it. That's all you're getting. I'm not letting anything slip, even something that seems non-spoilers. I don't want them coming back.
What did you think?
I'm not normally a horror guy. Like, while I think Supernatural does that on a sort of a more comic, fun bent, and they do it pretty well, overall, just that doesn't really interest me. I mean, I don't, like, movie-wise, I don't go see a lot of horror flicks.
Yeah.
Or slasher, thriller type things. I mean, maybe more on the thriller end, but they don't interest me more on, not because they're, like, super scary, but a lot of times just because they're dumb and gory for no apparent reason.
Right.
But I think this, while it has that slasher, you know, horror gore type of bit to it, it doesn't really show a lot of the gore because it's on network TV, but then they set up a lot of interesting characters in these 25, you know, characters that they have on the show, and they set up a lot of interesting things between the characters, and so I thought while watching it that there was a lot of intrigue in the series beyond just who's going to get knocked off each week. And who might the overall killer be? And so I thought it was actually put together really well on more than just the overall, you know, murder mystery element of it.
And they killed off my favorite character, who I knew going into the show would be my favorite character because I love, 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 love me some Harry Hamlin. Love him. And there he is, in the middle of a bridge, stabbed in the groinal area.
Basically, just like, sliced in half almost, just completely chopped off by the... That was the thing. They did a really good job of putting a lot of different characters in a situation where if you've seen any type of show or movie like this before, you would go, okay, something might be about to happen to them. But they did some pretty good, pretty decent fake-outs. And then the character's so splashy, you know, and out there in the opening, and he gets into it with the father of the bride, you know, a little bit, and so you kind of think, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. You're like, wow, they just killed off what seemed like was going to be a major player, and right there at the end of the first episode. But as they talked about, though, that somebody gets knocked off every week, they knocked off two people in the first episode, and the first one gets knocked off like 10 minutes into the show. You just get to hear their name. You don't ever meet them or anything.
I didn't love Harper's Island. but I'll watch it again to kind of give it a second chance.
I think it was done well enough that I think it'll be fun to watch, knowing that you're going to get a conclusion on July 2nd, I think, or whenever it is.
Yeah, yeah, they're not going to, like, not tell you who the killer is and have that person move to a different town and kill there.
That was, I actually was listening to the producers that were on after us on TV Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Sean was like, well, you could have, like, one of the characters that survives, you know, end up someplace else and you know, a bunch of murders start happening again. And they were like, yeah, we could do that, but that character would have, like, wouldn't that character just be, like, have the worst luck ever?
Yeah.
Although, in reality, it's not too much different than the main character here coming back after 7 years from a previous set of murders, and it's now in the middle of a whole nother set of murders, so.
Yeah. Those who were around murder attract murder, I guess.
Apparently she's having some bad luck, especially when she goes home.
Oh, she was terrible with the accent, though. She's Irish. And could not take the fact that she does not hide her accent very well. Maybe she'll get better.
It's one of those Irish islands off the off the coast of Seattle, I say in quotes. I love when they do a shot of I still don't understand why they couldn't do an overall shot that's just a shot of Seattle.
They do it all the time on Grey's Anatomy.
And then go to the boat. They actually give you a shot and you go, that's downtown Vancouver, BC. That's not Seattle. And I was like, it seems like they do on Grey's Anatomy. I mean, occasionally they do actually come up here and shoot for a week on Grey's Anatomy and stuff like that to give some outdoor shots, you know, shots on the ferries and stuff like that. But, you know, they could have shot on an island off of the coast of, you know, Vancouver there and, you know, in BC and say that it's an island, you know, in the Puget Sound area. But as soon as they give any type of a downtown shot of Vancouver, it's a very distinctive skyline that Vancouver has.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It doesn't look anything like the Seattle skyline. And so that always bothers me just because I live here in Seattle and, you know, everything's filmed in Vancouver and it's said to be Seattle. So
while we're on the subject, anybody who lives in Philadelphia, P.S., not everybody likes Geno's and Pat's. The end.
All right.
Anyway.
Moving on to a different part of the country, Indiana, Pawnee, Indiana.
Oh.
What did you think of Parks and Rec?
I saw a lot of people who liked it. I saw a lot of people who didn't like it, and I kind of fall squarely in the middle.
I fall in the category of I didn't particularly care for the first episode, but I could see it being funny. You know, I could see, you know, with the characters, and it's sort of in that shot in that similar way to The Office. Other than when she fell down into the pit, and she said she was okay because she had the, you know, it was okay because she had the hard hat on, and then there was that big pole that she, like, hit her head on, and, I mean, that was kind of funny, but other than that, I didn't really laugh at anything. I didn't laugh, like, Boss wasn't funny.
I don't think he was funny at all.
You know, some of the sort of sidekick guy didn't really.
I expected him to be a lot funnier.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't come off as very funny. I just didn't. It was almost, well, completely different. It was almost kind of similar to Surviving Suburbia in that it all seemed like they were trying really hard, but
right. The
jokes just weren't, like, you could see where the joke was supposed to be, but it didn't really land, at least for me.
And I had watched two episodes of The Office first. And I thought they were hilarious last night.
Yeah, I thought The Office was great. I actually thought that 30 Rock was actually a little down, funny-wise.
Yeah, too. Me too.
And that The Office was... both episodes of The Office had a lot of stuff in them that was really good. Although, The Office wasn't on our list, but real quick, The Office being with Jim, I hope they get either rid of the boss or get something where Jim can sort of be back on top, because...
Yeah.
There's enough awkwardness with Michael that when you make every scene with Jim become awkward, because while it was funny, that one scene with Dwight in the, you know, the cutaway where he just gets that smile that, hey, we have a boss that doesn't find Jim adorable. And then he just gets that
right.
big, like, evil, like, grin on his face. You know, for moments like that, it was kind of funny. But overall, every time Jim does something, it comes off as, you know, it doesn't work out for him. And it's so weird that the thing that it's not really
like
funny.
Jim's supposed to be our hero in this show.
And for it to be sort of switched where Dwight kind of has the upper hand.
And, like, he loves Andy because Andy pretends to like soccer. Like, it's like a whole alternative universe.
And then it works out that way where Jim, that one time that he decides to try and do what everybody else is doing, you know, going against what he normally does, you know, sucking up, he gets bit in the butt by it.
He ends up getting Phyllis hit in the face with a soccer ball.
He just ducks. He's like, why did you duck?
So good.
He's like, sorry. He's like, yeah. But yeah, there was so much stuff on there.
The team, I know, we've moved off of Parks and Recreation, which is what we were supposed to talk about, but like, The Office to me was just so much better that, like, the team of Pam and Michael and Ryan...
In that little office?
They are fantastic!
Pam, that's my corner.
Yeah.
But I thought that was your corner. Oh, I work in this corner. I can't work and relax in the same corner.
So good!
So my corner's the one with the copier? She's been trying to stay away from the copier, like, the whole day?
I thought it was so cool, though, like, how they came together and she had her first sale, and, like, they coached her, and they were like, no, say this. Like, it was so cool.
And then, like, Ryan sort of, like, takes credit a little bit is that we, you know, that he was, like, somehow part of it or something, and he didn't really do anything. And then just, like, the closing out with Michael in his corner, and then it's right below the bathroom and the toilet flushes, and it just sort of gives a feeling for really where they're at, where he's at right now.
Yeah. I just love the new opening credits.
Or you could hear Toby goes into the bathroom and he's on his phone and he starts talking about how great Damages is this season. That was one thing I found that was interesting. Is like, there was a shout out for like Damages, which is on FX. And then there was like a shout out for Showtime on 30 Rock.
Deshawn is on the phone from Showtime Entertainment. She wants to know you can get 3 free months. Oh my God, that was so funny.
It was kind of like taking a shot at Showtime a little bit, but it was also like Showtime, you know, especially at the end where he's like, get me Showtime. And he's like,
right. And he's like, really? Because CBS owns Showtime,
and Fox owns FX with Damages. And so it's like, all these off-network things, because so much on shows, if there's a mention of something real, it's a mention of something that's on the same network or owned by the corporate company. And that's why it was pretty funny.
So good.
Okay, and the last show that we have on our super extended edition of TV Times 3 minus 1 is Southland.
Which, I don't want to talk long about it, but I did want to say, I really enjoyed it.
I didn't know what to expect, really, from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is shot in an interesting fashion. It's almost like a documentary style without, like, having a voiceover telling you what's happening and what happened next. It's sort of shot as sort of like a day in the life. But it kind of, it's not just one character, it kind of follows a few different characters. But I think it came off pretty well.
Oh yeah, I really liked it.
The one thing though that I don't really get, I mean, while there is some elements of the show of being similar to The Unusuals, like having a rookie cop in Southland and a rookie detective, you know, homicide detective in the other, and then both apparently being from rich families, you know, or coming from wealth, mm-hmm. And then having a senior officer, you know, telling them what it is. There's some similarities there. But I saw some articles, and I usually don't read a lot of stuff beforehand before I've seen it, although I'd seen The Unusuals, where just because they were like two cop shows coming out at relatively the same time, they were comparing them as that they were like the same. And I was like, these are so different.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
I read one article, as per usual. I can't remember where it was.
I saw this something somewhere.
It was on some site, someplace. I'm sure you'd enjoyed it, too. But, yeah, where they pointed out, like, some of those comparisons, but they made it seem like the shows were you know, like two shows had come out at the same time and that were the same, you know, like Chicago Hope and ER.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is no Chicago Hope and ER, like.
Yeah, while those were slightly different, you know, one was focused mainly on the ER and one was on, you know, bigger cases and other people coming in and stuff, not necessarily the frenetic pace to it.
Right.
Comparing the Unusuals, other than those minor elements that I talked about already, and Southland is, like, bizarre. Because they're completely different. They come at a cop show from a completely different angle. That one has more of an odd bent comic, you know, a little bit of fun to it. And this one is, like, serious, you know. While there might be attempts at humor, sort of that cop humor or that, you know, you might call gallows humor or something in the face of danger or, you know, mm-hmm. or having fun with the things that happen at your job or whatever. It's definitely a serious, there's a lot of serious stuff taking place on the episode and not a lot of comic lightness letting it up. I was, because that's why I was even like more shocked at like what it really was when I saw it.
But I liked it in general, and I will continue watching because the cast is fantastic.
And overall, I was just glad to see, even with two shows starting in the same time period with Harper's Island and Southland, that both of them did, for these days, relatively decent to start off, which was nice to see because apparently shows that I like at mid-season are not long for this world.
No, they're not.
All right.
I think that brings us
to the finale of our series finale episode.
Next week, we will be talking. Well, it'll just be me and Ray, because we will be in Los Angeles together, which get the two of us together and we can't stop talking. So there's a chance that next week will be even longer than this week. Can't guarantee. We'll have probably a special guest because Kath is going to be with us the whole time, so I can't imagine she won't be there with us to record something. So Catherine, give me my remote. Hopefully we'll be with us too. And we're just going to give you the rundown from Paley. Let you know what we're seeing, who we're seeing, who we're hanging out with, what guest stars, you know, what stars we're taking names home with or numbers that we take home with us. And we'll keep you posted. So that's that for that. And that's it for us today. If, you know, you want to leave us a comment or, I don't know, possibly tell us how you feel about the podcast. Tell us what series finales you hated and loved or had an idea for what you wanted us to ask while we're out at Paley. If you want us to talk to people out there and see if we can, what you want us to talk about, basically, you know where to find us. On the website, tvtimes3.com, spell it all out. You can get us on the Snapvine link that we have there. Leave us a comment on the site, which will get to us. Leave us an email on the site, and we'll go for it. We want to hear from you people. Oh, and go to iTunes.
Leave feedback on iTunes, and also you can follow on Twitter so you'll be instantly updated when new episodes are posted.
The music, as always, is provided to us by IODA Promonet. The band is Asylum Street Spankers, and the song is TV Party off of their Mercurial title from Yellow Dog Records. I did it without Ray. Woo! But I can't wait till she's back so she can say it because I sound like an idiot. And with that, I gotta eat.
We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do. Watch TV and have a couple of brews.